Good afternoon. I'm Hannah Levine. You've got it tuned to the home stretch only here on 91.3 FM KXCI Tucson. It is just past 4 o'clock on this Monday, which means it's time to welcome my regular guest. Chris Carey volunteers his time each week to select and research our classic picks and then comes in and shares those findings with us. This week, coming in with a really big one, T-Rex the Slider came out right around this time 48 years ago. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thanks for having me. The Slider came out July 21st, 1972. So tomorrow it's exactly 48 years old. This was T-Rex's sixth release. The first three albums actually were released under Tyrannosaurus Rex, and then they shortened the name to T-Rex. Tyrannosaurus Rex was formed in 1967 in London by singer-songwriter Mark Bolan, who's actually, his real name was Mark Feld. Bolan is a contraction of Bob Dylan. The band was initially called Tyrannosaurus Rex and started off releasing psychedelic folk albums, kind of electric guitar style focus kind of didn't come around until more like 69, 70. And when that stylistic shift happened is when they shortened the name to T-Rex. And from 1970 to about 73, 74, T-Rex encountered like massive popularity in the UK, akin to the Beatles. T-Rex was always way, 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 way bigger in the UK than it was in the US. Bolan formed Tyrannosaurus Rex after attempting a solo career and a brief stint as lead guitarist for psych rock band John's Children. He and percussionist Steve Took performed kind of a psych acoustic material as a duo. They were heavily influenced by Ravi Shankar, which they actually saw in the late 60s when Ravi was in the UK. I mean, this, of course, was like the Sgt. Pepper era of the Beatles, and there were a lot of people doing this kind of psych acoustic rock stuff. By 1969, though, Bolan and Took, rift was developing between the two. Bolan was still into edgy music, but he wanted to go a little bit more mainstream. And Took wanted to go more into the underground and more into counterculture. And so they broke up. Basically, Bolan ended up replacing him with Mickey Finn, and they released A Beard of Stars, which was the last LP under the Tyrannosaurus Rex moniker. And then it kind of became more of a band as Bolan running the project than it was as a duo before that. And so by the end of the decade, T-Rex kind of left the whole psych folk thing behind and became more of a minimal rock sound at first. But as things progressed, it became much more of a guitar-focused kind of project. The first self-titled T-Rex release, that came out in 70. And the big hit on that was Ride a White Swan, which actually peaked in the top 10 of the UK single chart. And it was so popular that T-Rex was invited to perform on Top of the Pops in 1971. And Top of the Pops in the UK is kind of, an earlier version of the United States American Bandstand. It was the kind of thing that everybody watched. If you were a young person in the UK in the early 70s, you would watch Top of the Pops every week. Before he performed, on a whim, he put some glitter on his face, just a couple of glitter on his face, and he was wearing tight satin clothes. And that has been pinpointed by many rock historians as the very beginning of the whole glam rock movement. And glam rock is a 70s style that drew on diverse sources of music from 50s rock and cabaret, science fiction, art rock, and hard rock. And on top of that kind of sound, you know, outrageous costumes and makeup and crazy hairstyles, often that were all kind of androgynous, was very common with the whole glam rock scene. When the glam rock scene, even though it did show up in the US, it was much smaller in the US than it was in the UK. Other bands associated with glam rock were Roxy Music and David Bowie's earlier stuff, Montahoople, Slade, Sweet. In the U.S., New York Dolls, Iggy Pop, Suzy Quatro. So a lot of the glam rock bands also were kind of proto-punk bands that we talked about a couple weeks ago when we were talking about Iggy Pop.
Yeah, the intersection between those two genres, I think, is super fascinating because in some ways you think about, you know, glam rock, glitter and shiny and, you know, a lot of flashiness, which is kind of the opposite that you think of as punk. But the way that they kind of came about at the same time, there are some interesting parallels between them. You know, glam rock was rebellious because it was androgynous.
Yeah. It was like punk. A decade later, it was thumbing their nose at common, you know, everyday society and constructs within that society. And I think that that's why glam kind of progressed into what became punk. I think basically glam rock just became trashier during the 70s, you know, the glam style became trashier. And then what started off as, you know, high heels and glitter on your face and ended up becoming combat boots and
tarnished in the gutter after that.
So after that, you know, basically with Ride the White Swan is T-Rex got very big very quickly. And then there was with Electric Warrior, which came out a year later, there was stronger focus on electric guitars and a much louder sound and much more of the glam rock aesthetic and guitar focus. It was funny, is a lot of Tyrannosaurus Rex hippie fans, because Tyrannosaurus Rex in the earlier 60s was a very hippie counterculture kind of band. And a lot of those fans kind of didn't like T-Rex, as T-Rex thought they kind of sold out. But the young British public ate it up. And with Electric Warrior, the band went from popular to like off the charts popular. The album peaked at number one on the UK album chart. And it actually peaked at 32 on the US Billboard 200. A lot of times, Electric Warrior, along with The Slider, which we're talking about today, are kind of considered the pinnacle of T-Rex. And there was a lot of good material that T-Rex and Tyrannosaurus Rex put out, but Electric Warrior and Slider are, it's hard to find a review of either one of these records. It's not 10 out of 10 or 5 out of 5. It was a kind of a phenomenon in the UK, similar to Beatlemania. And they actually, with Electric Warrior, T-Rex scored its first U.S. hit with Bang a Gong. So by the time they went in the studio in early 1972 to work on The Slider, T-Rex had become bona fide superstars in the U.K. On a suggestion from Elton John, who they kind of became friends with in the early 70s, they went to Chateau de Hovilla in France to record. And it was kind of a cool place, a cool recording studio. It was an 18th century chateau. It was built in 1740. It's actually a subject of one of Van Gogh's paintings. It was made a recording studio in 62, along with Elton John, David Bowie, Pink Floyd, Jethro Tull, Bad Company, Iggy Pop, Fleetwood Mac. Tons of people recorded in this studio. And production credit here goes to Tony Visconti, which he's usually known as being David Bowie, because he produced 14 of Bowie's albums, including some of his most influential releases, including The Man Who Sold the World, Low, Heroes, Scary Monsters. But he recorded 9 of 14 T-Rex albums. So Tony Visconti was working with T-Rex before he started working with David Bowie. Tony Visconti also worked with a lot of other well-known acts. He recorded albums by Badfinger, Iggy Pop, Thin Lizzy, John Hyatt, The Moody Blues. I was surprised to see Angelique Kidjo and Alejandro Escovedo too. Commercially, the Slider was wildly successful in the U.S. It was driven by two singles specifically, Telegram Sam and Metal Guru, each which peaked at number one on the UK charts. Telegram Sam also made it to 67 on the US single chart, but Metal Guru didn't chart in the US. The LP itself got to number four in the UK album chart. Out of all of T-Rex's albums, it's the best-selling LP in the US, where it did, even though it didn't have a single that charted, it did make it to number 17 on the Billboard's album chart. Even though the sales weren't that great in the US, all the critics loved it. On both sides of the Atlantic, it was highly praised. People loved it pretty much the same way they loved Electric Warrior. And then there's a lot of really well-known artists that consider this their favorite album, including Johnny Marr from The Smiths and New Wave pioneer Gary Numan. You could probably argue that both The Slider and Electric Warrior are among the most influential glam rock slash proto-punk releases out there. They're on probably equal footing as David Bowie's Ziggy Stardust and Aladdin Sane, maybe Roxy Music's Country Life. And New York Dolls' self-titled release. It's interesting, too. I wanted to talk about the cover art, because the cover art is kind of iconic. It's Mark Bolan. He had big, curly, long hair, and then he had a top hat on. And I'm convinced that Slash would have never, you know, done that style had Mark Bolan not done that style. And what's funny is the photo credit on the album is given to Ringo Starr, who was actually filming a concert documentary at the time about T-Rex, and it was called Born to Boogie. That picture was taken on John Lennon's estate. What's funny is that even though Ringo Starr gets photo credit on that, Tony Visconti actually says he took the picture, but Bolan decided to give the photo credit to Ringo Starr, who happened to be taking some other pictures at the time, kind of for political reasons. After Slider was released, probably the last great T-Rex album, Tanks, was released in 1973, and that was like probably, you know, from the self-titled album T-Rex, which came out in 70, Electric Warrior, Slider, and then Tanks. That's kind of the golden era of T-Rex. After that, T-Rex released an additional 5 albums that that still got decent reviews and decent sales. They kind of didn't hold up to those earlier releases. And by the mid-70s, T-Rex wasn't quite as popular as they had been. But what was interesting is by the late 70s, with punk coming to the forefront, especially in the UK, and so many punk artists talking about how much T-Rex was an influence to them, T-Rex was actually gaining a resurgence and was actually touring with the Damned at the time. And just as this resurgence happened, Mark Bolan was killed in a car crash. It was September 16, 1977, just 2 weeks before his 30th birthday. So Bolan did all of this before he was 30. He had been partying, and on the drive home, his girlfriend Gloria Jones was driving, and they crashed, and she was badly injured but survived. For those who don't know Gloria Jones, she had been a Motown artist and recorded the first version of Tainted Love that was later famously covered by Saucel in 1981. And she was not only a backing singer for Bolan at the time, she was his girlfriend. The legacy of T-Rex is really hard. You know, to say it's huge is not hyperbolic at all. It's hard to imagine what late 70s and 80s music in general would look like without T-Rex and maybe Bowie and Iggy Pop. I mean, they pretty much, those three artists are responsible for punk and post-punk and much of what became indie rock today. There's tons of bands. Almost every big band that people consider huge look to those acts as huge influences. And even David Bowie himself, he said the moment he met Mark Bolan, he said, "I recognized him as genius." And that's, you know, that's high praise from somebody who's probably one of the most respected people in rock and roll. And actually, I'm not sure how the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction is supposed to go this year, but I know that T-Rex is actually being inducted to the Hall of Fame this year.
Yeah, his influence, I think, just continues to go and grow, if you will. Like a lot of picks that we talk about on here, new artists discover him all the time. And there's actually a compilation coming out next month, and it's entitled Angel-Headed Hipsters, The Songs of Mark Bolan and T-Rex. And it was produced by Hal Willner, famed music producer for Saturday Night Live, who passed away from COVID. But this was his final project. And it's going to contain cover versions of Mark Bolan's songs by an amazing array of artists, including Nick Cave, Joan Jett, Gavin Friday, Maria McKee, Father John Misty, even Beth Orton, U2, and Elton John are involved. Mm. So yeah, that'll be an amazing compilation.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I know Elton John was friends with Mark Bolan. I was reading an article this weekend that Joan Jett idolized T-Rex, and she says without T-Rex, she may have not done what she did. There are a lot of metal bands that idolize T-Rex. As a matter of fact, Guns N' Roses, they said a lot often that T-Rex was a huge influence on what they did. And I know they covered a few T-Rex songs. 80s metal wouldn't have been 80s metal without 70s glam.
Oh, I agree. As an 80s metal person myself, I know that probably one of the first times I heard T-Rex was within the context of hearing 20th Century Boy. And we were all like, what is that? That's heavy. That rocks. And mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm discussing T-Rex's The Slider. Came out right around this time back in 1972. It is our classic pick of the week. Thanks so much, Chris.
Thank you.